Judges then, Judges chapter 13 tonight, and we have looked at number 6 partly. We do not look at any more in number 6, we spent a couple of weeks on that. But we're back again in Judges chapter 13, and I draw your attention to the verse 5, still the angel's message to Mrs. Manoah, and he says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." We have been considering then the message of the angel of the Lord to the mother of Samson. It is the famous Old Testament Annunciation. And we've looked at this Annunciation, and we've seen that Samson is to be a Nazarite. That is, he's to be consecrated unto God. He's to be consecrated unto him from his very birth, from the very womb. But we also want to consider in the message, and we do that tonight, not only Samson's consecration, we want to consider his calling, and his calling and his task as one who is sent. And so he's a Nazarite, he's consecrated, he is to be holy, separate, and undefiled. That's the character he is to be. But what is he to do? And why is he to be this holy, separate vessel? And it is his calling that I want to think about tonight, his work, what it is that he is to do, and why he is to be a consecrated man. We are to be consecrated to fulfill our calling. We are to be consecrated that we might serve God aright. And he is to be consecrated, but what is he to be consecrated for? What is he to be set aside for? What is he being raised up for? He's a chosen vessel. He's also a commissioned vessel, a sent vessel. What is he to do? I'm sure Mrs. Manoah must be asking that question, even as the angel talks to her. She's going to have a son, he's going to be special, he's to be a Nazarite from the womb, and I'm sure she's asking herself, what is this boy going to be? And why, so late on in life, is the Lord giving me this promised son? And the Lord doesn't very often come to mothers to tell mothers that she's to bear a son, so she must be asking herself, what is he to be? And why am I having him given unto me? She must be asking that in her mind. And she gets the answer too. That is no doubt being framed in her mind. She gets the answer as well at the end of her text, verse 5. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That's the answer. That's what he's to be. He's to be a deliverer. He's to be a savior. And so I consider with you tonight, Samson, a savior, but not the true savior. Samson, a savior, but not the true savior. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And so he is to be, first of all, he is to be a savior. It says he shall begin to deliver Israel. Now it's the verb deliver that I draw your attention to. That's what he is. He's to be a deliverer. The verb to deliver means to rescue, to save. Sometimes it is translated save. And that's what Samson is, to be a savior. He's to be a deliverer. In fact, that's what all the judges were. They were saviors. They were deliverers of the people of God. And this Samson is to be a consecrated deliverer. Now, we spoke about Joshua many occasions whenever we studied the book of Joshua. And the name Joshua is a compound word. It contains Jehovah's name, Joshua. It contains Jehovah's name, but it also contains this very verb, to save, to deliver. And the name Joshua means Jehovah saves. And that's the name that Jesus has. He is Jehovah who saves. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus is the same as Joshua, and this Samson here, he has this verb of his task. He's to save. He's to save. He makes us think about the Savior in his work. He foreshadows the Lord Jesus Christ. He foreshadows him who brings the great salvation and who is the true deliverer. And whenever Jesus comes to save his people, we know that a like scenario arises. Is there not an echo here? Is Samson not here a type of Jesus Christ? And is there not an echo here of something that takes place 1,000 years later? You'll remember how there was an annunciation 1,000 years later. You'll remember how an angel appeared to a woman 1,000 years later. Her name was Mary. It's a similar situation. Now, it's not exactly the same. Her circumstances were somewhat different. She was not married. She had never known a man. But an angel appeared to that woman and spoke the same kind of language. What did the angel here say to Manoah's wife? He says, "For lo, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Does that not sound familiar? Do you remember how the angel appeared to Mary and said, "Behold, and behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son"? There's an echo here. There's an echo here of a great fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And the very same words were repeated. "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear a son." The very same words Mrs. Manoah heard. And he's a deliverer. And the one Mary is to bear is a deliverer as well. So this is an echo of the true Samson coming. This is an echo of the true Savior coming. This is the protological Savior, the protological Samson. But there's an eschatological Samson. There's a true Samson. There's one who was born, conceived in the womb of a virgin, and born of her. And he was a consecrated one. He was a consecrated one who never sinned. He was a consecrated one who never failed. He was a consecrated one whose walk was completely holy. He was a consecrated one who was a Nazarite in every sense of its spiritual meaning. Wholly separated unto his Father. Samson failed, but not Jesus. So he's a savior. But then I want you to notice, secondly, he is to be a savior for the people of God. He is to be a savior for the people of God, for it says here, "He shall deliver Israel." He's sent to deliver Israel. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he'll deliver his people." He delivered his people from their sins. And Samson sent to deliver the people of God. He's to deliver Israel. Now, what is Israel? Well, Israel is the people of God, as I said. God's chosen ones. His elect nation. That's what Israel is. But in the context, the immediate context, what is Israel? Well, it's two things. And I want to deal with both of them. First of all, Israel is unworthy. And that's how it starts out in this chapter. You remember, I draw your attention to verse 1 again, where we're told about Israel. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. They're wicked. They do evil. They're a wicked people. And yet Samson's raised up to deliver them. They're a wicked people who do evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet Samson is sent to deliver them. He's sent to deliver sinners. He's sent to deliver a wicked nation. He's sent to deliver the ungodly. That's the truth. Israel are sinners. And into this fullness of sin and apostasy, what does God do? He raises up Samson. He raises up a deliverer. They've added evil to the full. They've sinned again, it says. They've done it again. And they've done it again in the sight of the Lord. And what does God do? Does he damn them? Does he punish them? Does he send them to hell? No. He sends Samson. That's what he does. He sends Samson to deliver Israel. Israel that did evil in the sight of the Lord. He's a picture of Christ. He's a shadow of the Redeemer. He's a picture of the great Son arising, the Son of Righteousness. Samson's just a shadow of him. This is a faithful saying, Paul said. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save people that did evil, to save people that did evil again, to save people that did evil again and again. And they did it again and again in the sight of the Lord. That's how gracious the Lord is. That's how loving God is. He sends the deliverer to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. That's how God works. Whenever Christ comes in the first advent, there had been 4,000 years of human depravity. Iniquity to the full. Gross darkness covered the earth. Evil in the sight of the Lord everywhere. And when the fullness of time came, what did God do? He sent forth his Son to save. When it was darkest, he sent forth Jesus. Just like here, when it's darkest, he sends Samson. So, to deliver an unworthy people. And so the eschatological Samson, the Lord Jesus, he has come to deliver us. And he's the deliverer from the womb. But unlike the protological Samson, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And he dies for us. And he pulls down Dagon's temple in the sacrifice of himself to save his people. He sacrifices himself to save his people. And he destroys the devil in the sacrifice of himself. When he dies, there's more destruction in his death. He destroys the wicked one. He bruises the head of Satan. Whenever he gives himself a sacrifice. Oh, God is gracious. God's people are stubborn to sin. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord. But as stubborn as his people are, God is more gracious on their stubbornness. He sends them Samson. And so, thou shalt call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. And so God's Israel need delivered first, don't they? And you know, what do we really need delivered from first? We need delivered from our sins. You'll notice it doesn't say that in the text. It doesn't say he shall deliver Israel from their sins. He can't do that. He can't deliver them from their sins. Not even Moses could do that. There was never a deliverer in the land who could ever save his people from their sins. Only Jesus can do that. So Samson sent to deliver an evil people, but he cannot deliver them from their evil and from their sin. In fact, Samson can't even deliver himself from his own sin. He can't even save himself from his own sin. He's not even mighty enough a deliverer to save himself. He's not the true Savior. He's not the real deliverer. Moses was a deliverer, but he doesn't deliver people from their sin. And all the judges were deliverers, but he saves Israel. But only Jesus saves them from their sins. Only Jesus does that. So Jesus Christ is the only one. And while Samson is a Savior, he is not the true Savior who saves his people from their sins. So he saves an unworthy people. He saves sinners, though he does not, as I say, save them from their sins. He cannot do that. But then Israel is not only an unworthy people. Israel is also an oppressed people. And that brings us to the third thing. Not only is he a Savior, not only does he save the people of God, but he saves them from the hand of the Philistines. Now that's what he's to do. He cannot save Israel from their sins. No way. Only God can do that. And only Jesus Christ can do that. But what he can do and what he does do, he delivers them from the hand of the Philistines. From the oppressor. Because not only is Israel depraved and wicked, Israel is oppressed. Because it says there in verse 1 that they were delivered into the hand of the Philistines. They were delivered into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And God delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. But now God is raising up someone to deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. Do you see the great reversal? Delivered into the hand of the Philistines, and now a Savior comes to deliver them out. And Jesus Christ is the one who does the great reversal. We've been delivered into the hand of Satan. We've been delivered into the hand of the oppressor for our iniquities. But there's one who does the great reversal. There's one who delivers us out of the hand of the oppressor. There's a Savior who saves us not only from our sins, but there's a Savior who delivers us from all that oppress us, who delivers us from our enemies, that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. There's one who gives us the victory. There's one who sets us free. And so the Philistines, they oppressed Israel. They persecuted Israel. They brought Israel into bondage. And not only must God's people be delivered from themselves, but they must also be delivered from their enemies. Brethren and sisters, we as the people of God are always being oppressed. And God's people are always oppressed by external hands. We have oppressors. There's the devil. He's the great oppressor. He's the great accuser of the brethren. All his brats, they just mimic him. That's all they do. They just mimic him. But he's the great oppressor and the great accuser of the saints. It's the devil. It's the wicked one. He is the greatest oppressor that we have to deal with. And he has his agents. And he has his instruments. And they're all these hands that are against us. And we have to battle with him every day. Every day we have to confront the devil, or his agents, or his instruments. And Samson is sent to deliver the people of God out of the hand of these oppressors, out of the hand of the Philistines. And that's what our Savior does. That's the kind of Savior he is. Yes, he saves us from ourselves and saving us from our sins, but he also delivers us from all our enemies. Remember how God said about the people of God, his people in Egypt, he says, I'm come down, he says, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. He saw them oppressed, he saw them in bondage, he saw them tortured and persecuted, and he says, I'm come down to deliver them. He has a heart for his people. God loves his people. God loves those that he's chosen in his Son Jesus Christ. He loves them. And he sets them free. And he desires to deliver them. And he sends his Son Jesus to do it. And that's what Christ is. He's a deliverer. And that's why he came. And that's why he took flesh and blood. You remember how the apostle said, because the children, that is the children of God, because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. He took part of flesh and blood. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil, the great oppressor. He took flesh and blood that he might die to destroy the great oppressor, to destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them. Deliver them who all their life had been subject to the fear of death. They've been subject to this bondage. They've been subject to this terror. The terror, the death of terrors and the terrors of death. They've been subject to that. But Jesus has become our Savior. And he's died for us. And he's trampled on the head of the great oppressor. And he's delivered us out of his hand. He's delivered us out of his hand. The great Philistine. The great Goliath. The champion of the Philistines. He's even dealt with the Goliath. He's even dealt with their champion. He's the captain of our salvation. He went down into the valley of Elah for us. And he dealt with the champion himself for us. And he delivered us. The devil's defeated. Oh, he can spit. He can spit and he can bark. But he's defeated. He's on a chain. He can only do so much. He can only go so far and no further because of our Savior Jesus Christ. He's delivered us out of his hands. And no matter about his brats, they can spit and bark too, all the like. He's delivered us. He's delivered us out of their hands. We're a redeemed people. We've been set free. We're conquerors through him that loved us. We're on white horses in the Calvary behind our champion king. Delivered out of the hand of the Philistines. That's what Jesus does. And again, whenever the apostate church under Antichrist grows and reaches its zenith, and when the awful spiritual harlotry in this world reaches its fullness, and the great oppressor seems as if he's going to win the day, once again God shall send forth his deliverer, and his deliverer will come out of Zion. He'll come back again. He'll come back again to destroy our enemies. He'll come back again to save and deliver his church. He'll come back again and he'll tread upon his enemy's head and he'll smash them to 1,000 pieces. God shall send forth his Christ, the deliverer, and he'll come like Samson in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll send the deliverer. And that's how Jesus will come again the second time. He'll come again the second time as the deliverer. He'll deliver us. We'll be crying and say, Lord, deliver us. Deliver us from the Antichrist. Deliver us from the devil and all his devices. Deliver us from this whore Babylon. Lord, deliver us. The souls of your martyrs cries out, Lord, deliver us. And he'll send the deliverer. And he'll come out of Zion. And he'll save his people. He'll deliver us out of the hand of the Philistines. And at last, they'll be utterly destroyed. But we're told something else here that is very significant about Samson's deliverance for Israel. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Did you notice that word, begin? He just begins. That's all Samson does. He just begins to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He only begins. He doesn't finish. He's not Jesus Christ. He's not the true Messiah. He's not the real and ultimate and final deliverer. He just begins. He only begins to deliver. And we know he didn't finish. He killed hundreds. Yes, he killed hundreds of Philistines, but he didn't destroy them completely. The oppression continued. It continued under Saul and Samuel. It continued even into David's reign. They saw victories, but Samson didn't defeat them completely. And so, he only begins. And you know something? Mrs. Manoah picked up on it. She picked up on it. She knew what it meant. Whenever the angel told her, he shall begin. She knew what that meant. Because whenever she went back and reported to her husband, in verse 7, she tells her husband in verse 7, he said unto me, behold, lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And then she says, to the day of his death. The angel never said that. The angel never said he'll be a Nazarite from the womb to his death. She says he's to be a Nazarite from the womb. And he'll begin to deliver. But she twigged on it. She knew what it meant. She knew he would die at the hand of the Philistines. She knew he would die. And he was to be a Nazarite from his birth till his death, because he was only going to begin to deliver out of their hands. He wasn't going to have complete and utter success. He wasn't going to have complete and utter victory and completely drive them all away. In fact, there is a premonition to her that he will die in the task of beginning to deliver Israel. And in actual fact, we know that's what happened. He did die, beginning to deliver them. He didn't finish it. And so she picked up on that. And she's very careful how she reports to her husband. She doesn't even mention the Philistines and the battle and the victory, the partial victory. She had a premonition, I believe, that this deliverance would involve her son's death. He's going to die before the finish. He is going to die, and his unfinished work will remain. Brethren and sisters, we are not to look on to Samson. We are to look on to Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who finishes. Jesus just doesn't begin. He finishes. He's the author and the finisher. There's only one finisher of the task of salvation. Whenever he came into the world, he said, I'm beginning. I'm beginning to save. He shall save his people from their sins. He's beginning. But when he's on the cross, he says, it is finished. It is finished. He finishes the work as well. In his death, he gets the ultimate victory. In his death, he gets a complete finish of the work. Mary, whenever Mary was visited by the angel, and whenever Joseph was visited by the angel didn't say, he'll begin. He'll begin to save his people. No, he'll not begin. He will. He will save his people. He'll completely save his people. He'll utterly save his people. And so he says, it's finished. Uttermost salvation. A full and a complete salvation. Mrs. Manoah knows her son is not Messiah. Oh yes, he's to be great. He's special. But she knows he's not Messiah because he only begins. Messiah finishes. Messiah completes. He's not the Christ. He's a Savior, but he's not the Savior. He pulls down just the temple of Dagon, but it's the Lord Jesus who pulls down the whole edifice. He pulls down the whole kingdom of Satan. He pulls the whole kingdom down. And what is more, he doesn't die in the rubble. He comes out of the rubble. He arises from the dead, and he comes out of the rubble. He comes out of the rubble alive forevermore. He comes out of the rubble with the Goliath's head in his hand. He comes out as king and conqueror. He comes out as the deliverer of us. He's delivered us. The devil can't defeat us. The devil can't overcome us. No, he never will. Because Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He's our Savior. He has perfected us. For by one offering, just the one, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's finished it all in one offering. He's able to save them to the uttermost, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He finishes. Do you remember whenever Paul wrote to the Philippians, how he said these words? He says, I'm confident, he says, he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it. He'll finish it. I'm confident. I see he's begun in you. I see the Spirit of God has come among you, Philippians. I see that many of you have been born again by the Spirit of God. I see the evidence and the tokens of the Lord among you. He's begun. And if he's begun, he'll finish. If he's begun, he'll perfect. If he's begun, he'll complete. He's the finisher. The finisher of faith. And brethren and sisters, Christ will finish our deliverance. He will. Don't fear, child of God. Oh, I'm weak. I'm feeble. I have little faith. I have so many fears. Don't fear. You'll win the day because of Jesus. You'll win the day because of your Christ, because of your Lord. Don't fear. You'll win it through grace. And one day you'll stand with him. And one day you'll be like him. And all the worlds will be around you burning. And there you'll be standing with your Jesus Christ, your Savior. And you'll see then, he finished. He delivered me. Full and complete. He delivered me. He finishes. You'll be perfected. You needn't be alarmed. There'll be no more oppression one day. There'll be no more strife one day. There'll be no more devil one day. There'll be no more brats and agents of Satan one day. They'll all be gone. And you'll have perfect rest and perfect peace when he comes for you. He'll deliver you. Remember how the psalmist said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, he'll finish it. I'm not this and I'm not that, and I'm short of this and I'm short of the other. Will ever be like him. Will ever be free of sin. He'll perfect that. He'll perfect that which concerneth me. He'll deliver me. He'll deliver me out of the hands of the Philistines. He'll deliver me from all my sins. Remember how the Apostle Paul said that the gospel ministry, the pulpit ministry, he says, it's given to you for the perfecting of the saints. For the finishing of them off. For the sanctifying of them. For the working in them by the Holy Spirit. Till the work's finished. For the perfecting of the saints. Remember how Paul prayed, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And so when we study Samson, we see him as a type of Christ. But he's not a perfect type. He's just a shadow. He's a Savior, but he is not the Savior. He's not the true Savior. He comes short. And we'll be reminded of this as we study his life constantly. That there are so many stains on this vessel of deliverance. And we kind of have to sigh and say, ah, alas, he is not the Christ. He is like him. But he is not him. He is not the one holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners. He's just a vessel of clay. That's all he is. He just saves from a few Philistines. He just gives a wee deliverance from a handful of the enemies of God. He doesn't save from sin and he doesn't save from Satan. In fact, when you study his life, you'll see he needs saved himself. He needs salvation himself. He needs grace himself, just as we do. And so, Samson, a Savior, but not the Savior. But thank God there is the Savior. And he is our Lord. He is our Samson, without spot.